In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the debate over where the world came from, how everything began, in that whole debate of creation and evolution, there are very smart people on both sides of that issue. So you have very intelligent biologists, scientists, who look at everything and insist that the world must be billions of years old, even trillions of years old, and that we humans evolved from lower species. But then on the other side, you have just as smart of people, just as intelligent of people, who insist, no, everything gives evidence to some kind of supernatural creator. And they say the world must be designed something like what we have in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. So how do you account for this happening, where you have very thoughtful people, intelligent people, I mean, people who are trying to do, they're all trying to do the right thing, they're not trying to deceive, but they look at the same evidence and come up with just incredibly different conclusions. How does that happen? Well, there's really only one way to make sense of this, when you have the exact same evidence but come to different conclusions. And that is that even though they're working with the same evidence, they have very different starting positions. And this is really important. I'm really not preaching to you about evolution and creation today, but I'm just using this as an example to tell you what I'm going to tell you. But so in this case, you have the same evidence, which is everything we have in our world, but one side will start with the starting position that there is nothing supernatural. There is no God. And so then they look at the evidence and they say, well, it must have been millions, billions, trillions of years, and this must have all evolved. Then the other side looks at the same evidence, and their starting position is there is supernatural, there is a God. And so then, of course, they believe, they look at the evidence and say, yes, there's, it all points to design and to the creator, right? So that's how this works. The starting position makes all the difference. So this is also very often called not your starting position. I'm just using that word because I think it's easy to understand. But another word you're very often hear is worldview. Your worldview, how you look at the world, your starting position will make a lot of difference. So, all of this is to now tell you, in the gospel reading today, Nicodemus has a wrong starting position. And he doesn't realize it. He thinks he's got the right one. But he comes to Jesus with the wrong starting position, and so Jesus can't even debate with him. He can't even talk to him. And he says, no, Nicodemus, you have to start over. You need a new starting position. And you and I are no different in this. We often will come to God or to the Bible, whatever the case is, with our starting position already intact. We know it, right? We think we know, and we're smart. We've got this all figured out. And that's when God has to say, wait a minute, no, I'm not even going to debate with you. You have to start over. Okay? So the starting position that Jesus would have for Nicodemus and for every one of you and me is faith. That's our starting position. Our starting position is I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea about Nicodemus. This guy is not a pushover. I mean, he is an intelligent guy. He's an important guy, a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee. He really is the kind of person that other people usually will listen to. And his starting position is, hey, I've been around. I know what I'm doing, right? And he hears about Jesus, things Jesus is doing. He says, you know, I'm going to go check this guy out, see what I think of him. And he goes by night. You know, he doesn't want somebody getting the wrong idea about him. He goes at night so nobody will see. But this is his starting position. I'm going to go see about this Jesus. So he says to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. No one can do these things that you do unless God is with him, he says. Now, here's the funny, at least what I think is kind of funny. The words that Nicodemus said there don't matter one bit. Now, we care about them, but they're just not important. Jesus basically just ignores what he said. Why? Because what he said doesn't matter. It's what's behind his words. It's his starting position that's the problem. And Jesus recognizes that, right? It's where the words are coming from that is messed up. So Jesus says, now these are my words, of course. He says, Nicodemus, you're going to have to start over here. You're going to have to start over from the beginning, right? You come and you want to tell me everything you know about me, but you don't know anything about me. You don't know me. And that's the one thing, Nicodemus, that you got to know if you're going to know anything else. You have to know me. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're going to have to start over. Now, here's the wonderful thing about this, Nicodemus. He doesn't get this, and we all heard, you know, you heard me read it. He doesn't understand what Jesus is talking about. At one point in the conversation, he says, how can these things be? I mean, this isn't right. This doesn't make sense. I don't get it. Well, then, we don't hear from Nicodemus for a long time. He does pop up one little time, if you look. He'll pop up one little time in the Gospel of John, but it's not too significant. We don't hear about him for a long time until, all of a sudden, on Good Friday, the day Jesus dies. And on that night, the sun is setting, and they've got to get Jesus out of there, his body out of there, because it's about to be the Passover. So two men come to take care of his body. One of them is Joseph of Arimathea, but the other one is Nicodemus. This same guy, Nicodemus, was there. And he comes, and the Gospel of John tells us he brought 75 pounds of myrrh and aloes to anoint Jesus' body. So you tell me, I mean, we don't know for a fact, but you tell me, does it sound like Nicodemus started over? I think he did. When our starting position is pride, then we put God underneath ourselves. And that's what Nicodemus said. He put Jesus underneath him and said, I'll see about this Jesus. Right? That's where we want to judge God by our standards. But then we'll never really know him. Right? And that is what happens a lot today. People come to God with thinking they already know who he is. And so we end up with a gazillion different gods that don't have anything to do with the true God of the Scriptures. So we start over, right? We don't want to be the Nicodemus who comes to Jesus at night and says, I'll see about you. We want to be the Nicodemus who comes to the cross on Good Friday night and says, I believe in you. We want to be the Nicodemus who says, Jesus will see about me. So, what do? We start over. We start over all the time. That's what baptism is. It's starting over. Truly, truly, Jesus says, I say to you, unless one is born again, starting over, being born of water and the Spirit, having our sins forgiven. In the Isaiah reading that Tim read, that's how Isaiah starts. He says, woe, I am lost. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. That's where we start, right? We're not some confident Pharisee Nicodemus who's got everything figured out. We're sinners. We're lost. That's our starting position. We're not in charge. We're not better than anyone else. We don't deserve anything from God. But God so loved the world. The verse you all know, John 3:16. That's our starting position. I'm a sinner, but God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes will have eternal life. And that's a good place to start, isn't it? I believe God the Father made me. I believe he loved me so much that he gave his son Jesus for me. I believe that Jesus died for me, and I believe the Holy Spirit has given me faith so that I will not die but will have eternal life. That's a good starting position. Now, I mentioned that if your starting position is pride, then God is put underneath of you, and you're going to evaluate him. But what if our starting position is faith? Then where is God? God is above us. And that's why I like that picture that I put in the sermon insert. It's got the earth there and everybody, and above the earth and all people is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And actually, it's the first Trinity Sunday I've gotten to do since we've had our new window. And our stained glass window is perfect for this too, right? God is above, Father, Son, Holy Spirit in our window. And that is the position of faith. We believe in him and we start with him. Like I said, that all truly does start in baptism. You're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I know, I realize that I get like a broken record about this, but I am such a... I think the creeds are so helpful. Of course, we're going to confess the Athanasian Creed today, but the creeds are, that's your starting position. You know, if you ever have a doubt, where who am I, where am I going, you know, where am I headed? You always have that creed, just your foundation. It's putting you right where you want to start all the time. I believe in the Father who made me. I believe in the Son who gave his life on the cross for me. And I believe in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who has given me faith. That's our starting position. It's our story, our whole story. Oh, the depths of God, Paul says, right? That's his starting position. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. And that's where we want to start too. Oh, the depths of God. We believe that God the Father loved us and gave his Son for us. And we believe that whoever believes in Jesus will not die, but will live forever. Now, before I end, just real quick, if you would say to me, well, what is any of this, how would this help me? What does this have to do anything for me? Well, I would just simply ask you, anytime you're scared or you're anxious about something or you're troubled or you're suffering or you're in pain, anytime any of that happens, what do you start with? You start with this: I believe. I believe in the Father. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And if I know that, see, if I know that, then I can know everything else. In Jesus' name, amen.